and orchards and the fruit that would be produced, the continuation of all plant life was going to be God was going to put seeds in all of these things. And from that point on, God was going to do the creation to start with. But from that point on, all life was going to come out of a seed. Everything starts as a seed. This is a principle God established since the beginning of time. And this is true not only in terms of agriculture, it's also true in terms of even ideas. You know, every invention, every great invention started off just as someone's little idea. Started off as a seed. Every great business started off with just someone's plan, someone's dream. It started off as a seed. Everything starts as a seed. Everything. In Job chapter 8 and verse 7, you know the story of Job. Job loses everything. Then he has this friend. He has actually several friends. Most of his friends don't give him good counsel, but one of his friends, a guy by the name of Bildad the Shuhite, by the way, the shortest man in the Bible, Bildad the Shuhite says this to Job. Job's lost everything. Then Bildad says to him, "And though your beginning was small, your latter days will be very great." Job's friend is telling him, look, God is with you. And you're going to start over. And even though tragedy has struck your life, God's going to bless you. And it's going to start off small. But in the end, and if you read the book of Job, you see that the blessing of God was actually greater at the end of his life than it ever had been. But Bildad tells him it's going to start small. It's going to be just a seed to start with. So everything starts with a seed. Second principle is this: nothing happens until a seed is planted. Nothing happens until the seed is planted. It doesn't do you any good to have a bunch of seeds if they stay in the package, right? No farmer just withholds all the seed and says, I don't think I'll plant this year, and then expects to go out in the spring and see things growing. Seeds have to be planted if they're going to produce. We can't expect a harvest if we don't plant seed. You got that? You can't expect a harvest if you don't plant seed. This is God's principle of sowing and reaping. There will only be a harvest when we plant. And that's what this Malachi chapter 3 passage is about. God says, I'm going to throw open the floodgates of heaven. I'm going to bless you abundantly. I'm going to bless your crops. There won't be room enough to store it. But God says this, your part is to plant seed. Your part is to start with the tithe. Your part is to bring in one-tenth, one out of every ten, one-tenth of everything I've given you. You're to plant that. You're to give it away. And then as you do that, then the floodgates of heaven are going to open up. Third principle is this, whatever we sow, that's what we will reap. Whatever we sow, that's what we're going to reap. You don't plant corn seed and then grow wheat, right? Whatever kind of seed you plant, that's what you're going to get back. Proverbs chapter 11, on a spiritual level, verse 18 says this, a wicked person earns deceptive wages, but the one who sows righteousness reaps a sure reward. You're going to reap whatever you sow. In other words, I can't live this irresponsible life sowing sinful seed, bad seed, and expect to reap good things. Okay? God is good. God is gracious. Absolutely. But God has established this principle of sowing and reaping because God cares about the seed that we're sowing. God cares about the kind of seed we're sowing. Whatever we sow, that's what we're going to reap in life. Principle number four is this. We always reap, I like this one, we always reap more than what we've sown. Boy, that I'm preaching better than you're amening right now. We always reap more than what we've sown. It's the truth. You don't go plant, you don't go out and plant a corn seed in hopes of getting one kernel of corn back, right? You say, why bother? You go and you plant seed believing that the harvest is going to be more than what you planted. And this is how it is with God. This is where the blessing and goodness of God comes in. We reap more than what we sow. We take that step of faith, we plant the seed, but then God gives us a greater harvest than anything that we have given up ourselves. This is how God works. Aren't you glad for that? We reap more than we sow. And number five is this. This is important too. We reap in a different season than when we sow. You know, being a farmer takes a lot of patience, right? Being a farmer takes a lot of patience. Now, I've never been a farmer. My parents weren't farmers, but my grandparents were farmers. So I know a little bit about it. When you go and you plant those seeds, you don't wake up the next morning expecting for the harvest to be there. It takes patience. It takes time. And the harvest is going to come in a different season than what you planted. This is where a lot of Christians, they think, well, I'm going to start tithing and then things are just going to instantaneously get better in my life. And then they get discouraged because next month, they're still having a tough time. And they're going, God, I thought if I started giving, that meant everything was going to instantaneously get better. Now, this is a process, guys. There's sowing and reaping. And we don't give in order to get. We give because it's the right thing to do. We give because it's a privilege to be a part of the work of God. Amen? You don't give, when you give to missions, you don't give thinking, oh man, I'm going to give this $10 and then God's going to give me $100. You give to missions because you know that as that missionary goes out with the word of God and he's telling people about Jesus, there's going to be a harvest of souls and there are going to be people brought into the kingdom of God whose entire eternity has been changed because you planted some seed. You planted some seed. Jesus told us not to store up treasures on earth where thieves break in and steal and rust destroys and moths eat. But he said, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Treasure in heaven. It's the greatness of sowing and reaping. Then the sixth thing I want you to know is we can increase the size of our harvest. We can increase the size of our harvest. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 24. One person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. See, our world thinks the more you scrimp and save and the more tightly you hold on to things, then you're going to have more. And God says, no, it's not like that at all. God says, you come to me with an open hand and become generous and have a big heart and start giving things away. And then when you become a generous person, then I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless that. We can increase the size of our harvest. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly, that means not very much, will also reap not very much, but whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you've decided in your hearts to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, that's a lot of alls, you will abound in every good work. So it's up to you. Do you want to live this life of being selfish and giving grudgingly because you feel pressured to, or do you want to have a generous heart, a giving heart, a heart that's like God's? Then God's going to bless that. And then number 7, the time to start planting is now. The time to start planting is now. Look, if you wait for the perfect time to do something, you'll never do anything. I'm going to say that again. If you wait for the perfect time to do something, you'll never do anything. There's no perfect time. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 4, this is so profound. Whoever watches the wind will not plant. Whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. In other words, this is a person that's out there going, oh, it's too windy today. It's too windy to plant. I can't plant today. There's way too much wind. Or it's way too hot out. There's way too much sun today. Or I can't harvest today. It's raining too much. This is the person that is waiting for perfection before they'll do anything. It's perfection paralysis. It means things need to be just right. Until they're just right, I'm not going to do anything. And this is where a lot of people are when it comes to tithing and giving. They'll say things like, I'll start when I graduate from college. Yeah, when I graduate from college, I'll really start tithing. Or then it's when I get a better job. Or when I get married, we'll start to tithe. When I start making more money, I'll start to tithe. You know, when I retire, I'll start to tithe. When I retire, that's when I'll start to tithe. And waiting for that perfect opportunity. Here's the deal. This is the principle you need to get out of this. Is God is asking us to take a step of faith in life. If things are lined up perfectly before you do something, that doesn't take any faith. I mean, if you can figure it all out and calculate it and make it work on your own, that doesn't take any faith. But it takes faith to do something that you don't see how it's going to work out. You don't understand how God's going to make it happen, and you do it anyway because your trust is not in you, it's in God. Don't wait for the perfect time, whether it's giving or sharing Christ with somebody or, you know, making that decision for your family that you know you need to make. Don't wait for perfection. Don't wait for the perfect time, because when you wait for the perfect time, you'll never do anything. And when you do it, it won't take any faith. The time to start planting seed is now. It's today. It's saying, God, I'm going to put my trust in you. I'm going to put my faith in you. My confidence is in you. I'm going to start planting seed today and trusting you with the results. And then as we do that, wow, God can bless it. God can bless it. Can you say amen to that? God can bless it, and he will bless it. And so this morning, I just want to challenge you. We serve a good God. We serve a big God. Nothing is impossible for our God. Amen? You might be facing some challenges right now. I want you to know God is bigger than your challenges. He's bigger. He's bigger than your financial challenges. He's bigger than your relational challenges, than your physical challenges. God is bigger. There's never been a mountain that God can't move. Never. In fact, Jesus said it just takes a mustard seed of faith. Just takes a mustard seed of faith, just a mustard seed of trusting in God for God to move a mountain. See, we get that backwards sometimes. We think we got to have this big mountain of faith to move a mustard seed. Right? I got to have all this faith. No, it doesn't depend on you. It's not you moving the mountain anyway. It's God. And God is just saying, you come to me with that little bit of faith that you have. You just come to me. It might not be as much faith as you think you should have. Doesn't matter. You come to me with that faith that you have and watch what I can do. Watch what I can do. God will open up the floodgates and bless your life as you trust him and put him first. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Amen. Just kind of take a minute right now and let's just open our hearts to the Lord. You know, every time that I preach, I know this. I know that the Word of God is always powerful and effective. The Word of God always gets results. But I know this. I know God not only wants to speak to us as a congregation, God wants to speak to you as an individual. And God can take the entire message or just one thing I said this morning and speak into your heart today. And so what I want you to do right now is just open your heart to the Holy Spirit. Just say, God, what do you want me to learn? What do you want me to do? God, what's my next step? What's my next step? Perhaps you've been facing something and you've been so discouraged. And your next step is to so saturate your heart and mind with the Word of God that God is just going to be the lifter of your head. He's going to lift you up. But your step, the seed that you sow, is going to be you need to get into the Word of God. Let the Word of God go to work in your life. Perhaps there's a step of faith that God is asking you to take. Maybe it's reaching out to a neighbor, and you've just felt prompted time and time again, but you've been hesitant. You've kind of given in to fear. And God is just prompting you. He's pushing you to go. Go and introduce yourself and bake some cookies and whatever it takes. Just God wants you to reach out and get beyond your comfort level. Get beyond your comfort bubble. He wants you to start sowing some seed that way. Perhaps it's finances. And you haven't been obedient to the Word of God when it comes to giving and tithing. And I just want to challenge you today and exhort you. Don't wait for the perfect time. Start now. Just start planting seeds. Start trusting God. Whatever it might be, let the Lord speak to you this morning. Be open to Him. Be obedient to Him. Lord, we thank you for your goodness, your love, Lord. And every one of us in this place that knows you, it started off as just a seed of, we just prayed a simple prayer. And we open our hearts to you, God, and then you came in and turned everything upside down. You changed everything in our hearts and in our lives. And you gave us way more harvest than what we planted, that's for sure. We just thank you, God, that that's the kind of God you are. Lord, I pray that our hearts would learn to trust you more and more. God, with our homes, with our families, with our jobs, with our decisions, with our finances, God, in every area of our lives, help us to trust that you are good and you want to do good things for your people. You want to bless your people. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is so good. God is so good. Yeah. This morning, we're going to, one of the ways that we're going to respond to the message is we waited to the end of the message today to do our offering, believing today that some of you need to respond to the Word of God by starting to give and starting to tithe. And I know it's a huge step of faith for you to do that. But I'm telling you, I started tithing as a teenager. Just a teenager, I started tithing. And I have never regretted it once. Not once. Not once have I said, man, I wish I had all that money back now. I it's such a privilege to give to the work of God. God has blessed me in so many ways over the years. God has provided, He has blessed, not just materially, financially, but spiritually, blessed us in so many ways. You can never outgive God. And so this morning, I wanted to wait to the end to do this offering. And perhaps for some of you, and just even as a couple, maybe you want to just kind of have a little quick conversation. Maybe you want to agree together today. We're going to start tithing. We're going to make the kingdom of God a financial priority. We're going to give to God before we spend a dime on ourselves. We're going to give to the kingdom of God. And God will bless that. He really will. And like I said in my message, it might not be next week or next month, but I'm just saying in the big picture of your life, God is going to bless. He's going to bless. He's going to provide. And so, ushers, if you would come at this time, we're going to receive our tithes and offerings. And here's what I'd like to do. If you're making that decision today, I'm going to start tithing. I'm going to start tithing. Or perhaps you used to tithe and you kind of got away from it and you're kind of making a recommitment to start tithing again. I'd like you to do me a favor. And if you would just write that on your offering envelope. Just saying, I'm starting to tithe, we're starting to tithe. And the reason I'd like you to do that is because I want to start praying for you. This week, I'll just, whatever names come in, people that are starting to tithe, I just want to lift you up in prayer and just ask that God would bless the seed that you're planting. Okay? And so if you would do that as you fill out your offering envelope, just add that on there, I'm starting to tithe. It would be my privilege to pray for you this week and just pray that God will bless that seed that you're planting. Father, we come before you now with our tithes and offerings. God, we thank you that you're a good God. You're a generous God. You're a big God. And Lord, we know that as we sow seed today, God, it makes a difference for eternity. And so God, we ask you to bless this offering in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you as you give this morning. I'm going to ask the